Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can find us on the web at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Last week I talked about how Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. We looked at how the Bible calls us to take hold of the life that is really life. We looked at what it means to really live. If you missed it, you can listen to it on our website at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to remind you to accept no substitutes for the life that is really life. We're going to start our morning by listening to Sandy Patty sing, Let There Be Praise. Grandma and Grandpa's house was located 4 kilometers down the road from the farm where I grew up. In the kitchen, my grandparents' house, there was a wood cook stove. By the time I came along, my grandma had an electric stove, but she used the wood stove to bake bread and keep water warm because, well, you never knew when you needed a cup of tea. That wood cook stove was more than just a stove. See, my grandfather would cut the wood for that stove. My mother's three brothers would split and pile the wood for that stove. It was one of those old farmhouses. And so in the wintertime, when you got out of bed upstairs, the rooms were freezing. So you'd rush downstairs and you would gather around the stove. That stove was a focal point in the house of my grandparents. There was a lot of life lived around that stove. A lot of important things in terms of conversation or relationship went on around that stove. Of course, now if I want to heat up my house, I just go to a little knob on my wall and turn it up. If I want to heat up a cup of water for tea, I just click on the kettle. We don't have a focal point like that stove, but neither do our house have ways of living well around a focal point. It seems like when we gain technology, we have a way of losing meaning. When it comes to taking hold of the life that is really life, the technological advances of the last 100 years have made life easier, but we have made finding meaning in real life harder. It seems we lost something very important. See, when my grandparents wanted to hear music, it would either happen in their kitchen or they'd go out to a community hall. It was a community event. Now I can dial up Yo-Yo Ma on my iPod. I can bring the best music in the world into my living room. But at the same time, we have lost a lot of what is important that surrounded the music of bygone days. Things like community and interaction and satisfaction that those things bring in life. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not a Luddite. I love technology. I love gadgets. I just think that as we adopt gadgets, we may be missing out on life. You see, nothing worthwhile comes easy. I don't know if you've ever tried to learn to play a musical instrument or paint a picture. When you first set out, let's pick the violin. When you first set out to play the violin, it is painful. It's not satisfactory at all. But if you work on it, if you can get to a level of competence where there you can play music, there is some real satisfaction in playing. Compare that satisfaction level to purchasing a CD. You get new music, you love it. But for how long? After a couple of days, a week, couple of weeks, the satisfaction level drops off. And if you want to get more satisfaction, you're going to have to go out and buy another CD. We live in a world that is losing meaning, and we are trying to buy our satisfaction. Now, all of what I have said is true for both Christians and non-Christians. But for the Christian, this world is exceptionally perilous to our soul. For it is training us to try to buy our satisfaction rather than finding it in Jesus. I would suggest to you that learning to follow Jesus and having your needs met in Jesus, learning to be a disciple, is kind of like learning to play the violin. When you first start out, it is hard. You are just trying to get your bearings, learning to pray, learning to find your way around the Bible, learning to navigate life in the spiritual dimension. That's hard. But as you learn to walk by faith, as you learn to trust Jesus, there can be a satisfaction that can only be found in Jesus. It can't be found any other way. There are ways of trying to live your spiritual life where you lose track of what is important and you go for the quick hits of spirituality, but those things lose their appeal. This morning, I want to urge you to take hold of the life that is really life and accept no substitutes. In a moment, I'm going to tell the story of the woman at the well that Jesus met in John chapter 4. But let's hear about that story first. Jesus met the woman at the well by the Pilgrim Travelers.
Oh, Jesus met the woman at the well. Hey, Jesus met the woman at the well. He said, woman, woman, tell me where is your husband?
Hey,
woman, woman, tell me where. 'cause you told me everything that I've done, that I've done.
So let me tell you the story. Jesus is in the southern part of Israel called Judea. And he wants to travel to Galilee, which is in the northern part of Israel. Between Judea and Galilee is a place called Samaria. Often travelers would take the long way around to avoid Samaria. See, the Jews of Jesus' day looked at Samaritans kind of the way we look at hillbillies. The Jews thought they knew better. They thought they were better. And they were just a little bit scared of the Samaritans. The reality was that Jewish people and the Samaritans, they didn't talk to one another in Jesus' day. Jesus didn't take the long way around, though. He traveled right through Samaria. His disciples had gone into the town and purchased supplies, and Jesus ended up at this well in the middle of town at noon. By this well was a woman. Now, this woman was aware of the political forces around her. She could debate from different perspectives. She was probably a very good-looking woman. She had no problem getting a man. She did, however, have problems hanging on to a man, or maybe the man had a hard time holding on to her. As we catch up with her in the story, she has already been married 5 times, and now she's living with a man that she's not married to. It was culturally inappropriate in Jesus' day for a man to talk to a woman who was not part of his family alone. It was culturally inappropriate for a Jew to talk to a Samaritan. So after a long walk, Jesus sat by a well around noon. And in a short time, the Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. And what does Jesus do? He says, "Hi there." Or actually what he said is, "Would you please give me something to drink?" In John chapter 4, verse 9, this is what it says. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Jesus, as was his practice, moved the conversation towards a spiritual end. "Lady, God has a gift for you. If you knew about it, you would be asking me, and I would give you living water." Just a couple of things to note. God has a gift, not just for this woman, but for whoever would look to him. And you will note that Jesus gives this gift to whoever asks. There are no exceptions. Then Jesus says, "If you were to ask, I would give you living water." The question is, why does Jesus use this metaphor, living water? It goes quite nicely because he's sitting beside a well, and he has already asked for water. But Jesus could have went and talked about the kingdom of God or her need of life. He could have told her that she could find rest for her soul. Instead, he uses the metaphor that ties into the quenching of the thirsting of her soul. I think he did this because he realized, and quite possibly this woman realized, that her soul was thirsty. Jesus comes along and says, "I can give you water for your soul that will really satisfy." Why is it that she went from man to man to man? There is something in her soul that is thirsty. But this woman hadn't caught on that Jesus was talking about a spiritual reality. So in verse 11, she says, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks of this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Jesus is saying, it is a different kind of water. If you drink it, your soul will never be thirsty again. In fact, it will become like an artesian well that keeps bubbling up. It will keep on flowing. It will give you a constant supply of life, and it will give you eternal life. There is a deep satisfaction of soul that happens when you drink from the water that Jesus gives. Often when people begin with Christ, they are bubbling and overflowing with life. But sometimes, to continue that deep satisfaction of soul, they go off track. See, the spiritual life is kind of like learning to play the violin. The journey is challenging, but if you continue on, the satisfaction is deep. The Bible says be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes allowing him to fill us and deal with the stuff that blocks us is hard. Sometimes dealing with what this world hands us is hard. And instead of going to Jesus for satisfaction for our souls, we turn to other things. Have you ever found yourself doing that? It would be nothing new if you had. See, in Jeremiah chapter 2, this was written about 600 years before Jesus. Jesus talks to his people about doing that exact same thing. They were looking for something quick to satisfy their soul, and Jesus called it idolatry. We put our desire for a quick fix ahead of God. So Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "Has any nation ever traded its gods for new ones, even though they are not gods at all? Yet my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. And the heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay," says the Lord. And catch this, verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 2. "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." Jesus says that if we drink of the water that he is offering, living water, we will never thirst again. But sometimes what happens is that we abandon that water and go looking for our own water sources. Larry Crabb describes it this way. "Digging leaky wells highlights our desire for immediate satisfaction, on demand and on our terms that we can control. This is an immense problem. We experience soul pain, a profound empty space that demands to be filled. We settle for lesser satisfactions than living water. We want pleasure that will fill us with joy. We dig wells when we are ruled by urges to feel good now. Whatever provides even a brief experience of ache-free happiness becomes irresistible, and we assume the responsibility to arrange for the pleasure we want. We dig our own wells. We don't like being at the mercy of an unpredictable God." And here's the dynamic he's describing. We thirst. We want relief now, so we dig a hole. And we find that we're not satisfied, so we dig another hole. We try to dig our own wells, and we abandon the spring of living water for cisterns that can't hold water at all. Does that sound like something you do sometimes? I've watched people make idols of work or careers or family, of food, of entertainment, of alcohol, of adrenaline rushes, of sex, of hobbies, and each time they dig a hole, they get a little bit of satisfaction, but those holes just don't hold water, and you end up unsatisfied. It's kind of like buying a CD. It's great for the first little while, and then it gets old really quick, and it fails to satisfy, so you have to buy another one. It's not that the things that I mentioned are necessarily bad in their place. It's just that it's not where you're going to find life. But learning to pray when your soul is hurting is sometimes unsatisfactory. Learning to hear God's voice through Scripture and through others and through His Spirit is sometimes a slow process. Learning to worship or have fellowship or to serve or to use your spiritual gifts are sometimes challenging, especially when you're hurting. But as your soul learns to have communion with God, as you learn to uncover the spring of living water that is a deep, sustaining satisfaction that goes on in you, you will find life. The Bible instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. That is the way that is written. It says, be filled with the Spirit, and it's an ongoing process. Here is what I found. It's a learned process. I have to make space for God in order to have God come and have the opportunity to fill me. But God doesn't seem to work on my schedule. Sometimes the stress is overwhelming and a simple prayer doesn't fix it. Sometimes the pain of betrayal or grief is deep, and God doesn't seem to work to bring peace right away. Sometimes the fear is consuming and I look for courage, but it's challenging to find God. And in those times, I'm really tempted to go out and dig my own well. Depending on where you find immediate comfort, you may be tempted to eat or get drunk or high. There are 1,000 ways to dig wells, but they are really a substitute for what God wants to do. Here's what I found. God's word is still true. No testing has overtaken you, but such is common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will provide the way out so that you may be able to endure. God is faithful. He will come through. It may not be on your timetable, but he will come through. Wait and accept no substitutes. You will find as you wait that he is your real source of strength and help. He will be with you. He is life. He has come that you might have life. And he encourages you to take hold of the life that is really life. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that you would give the people who are listening the ability to take hold of you because you have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I pray, Lord, that they would accept no substitutes for life, but they would find their real life in you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into the core of who they are with your blessing of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement, and keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, and as you know, the summer months are a financial struggle. If you can help with that, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can follow us on Twitter or on our blog. It has been a pleasure to spend this morning with you. My name is Brent Russett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent Russett. My prayer is that you may know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to end this program off by listening to the Sanctified Blues singing Wait on the Lord.
Us to trust him and trust in him alone, but you gotta wait. You gotta wait on the Lord. Don't try and figure out what his plan is all about. You just gotta wait. The Israelites got restless and they really messed things up. They made a golden calf, their God. They had to drink it from a cup. They didn't wait. They didn't wait on the Lord. They showed their lack of faith. They thought God was running late. They just couldn't wait. Now the trying of your faith works out patience. But let patience have a perfect work. So in the end you'll be complete and wanting nothing. You'll look back and thank God for the path he took. But you gotta wait. Abraham's a prime example. God told him to sacrifice his son. He knew that God would spare him, but not how it would be done. He had to wait. He had to wait on the Lord. In the thicket there was a ram. While the knife was in his hand, he just had to wait. With men, some things are impossible. But with God, no, there's nothing he can't do. Ask him to show you your heart and to change it. You be the clay and let the potter work on you. But you might have to wait.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.